Good morning. It is good to see and to hear you gather here as we enter this time together. I'm Jeremy Africa, the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship, I want to welcome you to our time together. It's my hope that you are gathering with a spirit of expectancy, expecting that God is doing a good work in your life, and that God will do a good work in your life through our time together and in the week to come. As we begin our worship, I do want to highlight a couple announcements that we have this morning regarding the life of the church. There is much more in the bulletin and the e-blast, a weekly email that the office is sending out. So encourage you to look those over. If you aren't yet receiving those, encourage you to reach out to the church office that you might hear all that's happening. But first of all, to highlight announcements, I'm going to hand things off to Amy Fisher, who serves as our Step Team Ministry Leader, with an invitation to share in a mobile food pantry. Amy? Thank you for those opportunities to live out our faith. That's one thing. It's always exciting to live out the mission of the church. But for us to individually participate in that and to share in living in our faith. These are two great opportunities. If you have questions, and invite you to seek out Amy after worship. Next, I'm going to hand things off to Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our music director, with announcements regarding upcoming concerts. Gabrielle?
It is my privilege and pleasure to invite you to our four free concerts this year. As you know, Midland First is well known for its music ministry programs. And so our current concert this year will be the King's Brass. They will be performing for us here in this space. And it's a free concert, but there is one really cool opportunity that I want to bring forward to you. They have allowed us the opportunity, if you play a brass instrument, there is a time in the concert where you can come up and play with them. So if you think that you are good enough on your instrument and I can get you the music, because it might be a bit of a bear of a piece, please come and see me, because we can provide you with that music and set up some rehearsal times for you to be able to do that. It's a really cool thing to be able to get up with a professional touring group and be able to do that. So that's really cool. Secondly, our Next Generation Music Concert Series is the second Sunday of June, July, and August at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We have still a surprise for the first one, but for July, we have the Second Act Opera Company, which are a stellar group of folks from Grand Rapids. And then we have a world-renowned organist who is currently serving at a United Methodist Church in Ohio, coming to visit us in August. So please put these events on your calendar. They are free. We will not be taking up a free will offering. That's not how we do this. This is completely free. It's a great way to celebrate not only music, but it's a great way to celebrate the life of Midland, because as we all know, in the summer, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, there are free concerts downtown. Why not add a Sunday on as well? So we invite you to attend and invite your neighbors and friends. Thank you.
Gabrielle, I'm wondering if me playing the trombone in elementary school qualifies me to.
I tell you what, you and I, we can do a trombone duet.
I better be careful. Well, wonderful opportunities to share music here at the church. Encourage you to be mindful of them. At this time, we're going to stand and to greet one another. After that time of greeting, please remain standing that we might share together in our call to worship. Let us stand and greet one another.
Good morning. Would you all please join me in our call to worship? It's printed in your bulletins and available on the screen. As the Lord, our Creator, you know just what we need when we need it. In Christ, we have abundant life. He fills our cup to overflowing.
Thanks be to God for his faithfulness to us. Lord, help us to be more faithful to you.
Opening song today, the servant song, which can be found in the small black hymnal, The Faith We Sing, or we will have the words available for you on the screen.
Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant. a child coming to Sunday school. Please join me up here. So glad to have you. And while the kids are coming forward, if I could mention that the food announcement that food truck, pantry, mobile food truck activity on April 3rd is available for 4th and 5th graders as well as youth. So it is a lovely multi-generational opportunity if you happen to be in town during spring break. Today we will discuss blessings and the Beatitudes. Once again, Jesus turns things upside down. I know. Let us pray. Dear God, rich or poor, grieving or happy, fancy clothes or hand-me-downs, hungry or stuffed, we are all your children. Help us to remember that we are yours and everyone else is too. Amen.
As our children head to Sunday school, I'm going to invite those who are coming forward this morning to join the church. And as Wayne and Sue and Maxine make their way forward, you might be asking yourselves, why join the church? After all, there was no one at the doors checking for a membership card. The fact of the matter is, there are few positions within the church leadership that require one, by book of discipline, to be a professing member. But other than that, why be a member? The purpose for church membership is for us to be intentional in our life together. That in these moments, that we might be a community of love and forgiveness where our faith is being nurtured. And so Maxine, Sue, and Wayne come together forward to make that intentional step. And we are sharing in that intentional step as a congregation, as you too will be reiterating your commitment to one another. If you're here this morning and wondering or hoping or wishing to be a member of First United Methodist Church, I'm going to encourage you to seek out Pastor Bethany, and she can take up a conversation with you about the steps to become a member. But at this time, let us now share in this time of welcoming Sue and Wayne and Maxine into membership. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Pastor Bethany.
I present Wayne and Sue Hensley, who come seeking professing membership by transferring their membership from another United Methodist Church. And I present Maxine Myers, who comes seeking professing membership by transferring her membership from another denomination.
Thank you. So Maxine and Wayne and Sue, I'm going to invite you to reaffirm the vows that you spoke at your baptism. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please respond, I do.
I do. I do.
And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, please respond, I will.
I will.
I will.
Pastor Bethany.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and commitment to Christ?
We do.
We do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help,
we will proclaim
the good news
and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
God, we give you thanks for the ways that you have used water throughout our history. We give you thanks that we are baptized into your death and resurrection. And today, all of us here get to remember our baptism and be thankful. May it be so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And so Wayne and Sue and Maxine, I invite you to come forward to the baptismal font, to dip your hand into the font, and then to place the mark of the cross on your forehead, remembering your baptism. Wayne and Sue, remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. Maxine, remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen.
Maxine, as a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, respond, I will.
And now to Sue and Wayne and to Maxine, and extend to you the membership vows to this congregation, to Midland First United Methodist Church. As members of this church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and witness for Jesus Christ? If so, Please respond, I will.
I will.
I invite you to turn and to face your congregation and church. Members of the household of God, I commend to you these persons to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, to confirm their hope, and to perfect them in love. If you'll do so, please respond with me. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers and our presence, our gifts, our service, and witness. That in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a glorious day when it is that we live intentionally into being the church. Amen?
Amen?
So after church, we will have an opportunity to greet Maxine and to greet Wayne and Sue in the parlor. There's also cake afterwards, so I invite you to that time together. And Chris Goralski, I'm going to invite him to come forward. Chris serves as our co-lay leader and also the co-leader of our member care team, who has gifts and a welcome on behalf of the congregation. Chris?
On behalf of the member care team, I'd like to present you with these gifts from the church and welcome you to Midland First.
Thank you. Can we welcome them, please?
And now we come to a time of offering where we get to give back to God. And so I invite you, as the ushers come forward, also to sign the friendship pads. We love to get to know our neighbors and to know who's here. And so I invite you to do that as the plates are coming through as well. And I invite the ushers to come forward.
About Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about my Savior's face. Here comes my old friend, the preacher. He's a knocking on my front door. He's out trying to save all the sinners. He's been here so many times before. I love the easy conversation. Man, that preacher sure can talk. He brings up my need for salvation. Even though I'm a stubborn to fall. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Lord, I need just a little more faith. I walk by the church Sunday morning. I slip down in the back door. It's sure been a long time a coming. Now tell me, preacher, what do I need to know? His words were like a cool drink of water. He said, sinners, come on down the aisle. So I went a-running for the altar. You should have seen my old friend, the preacher, smile. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I long to see my Savior's face. Oh, I long to see my Savior's face.
Thank you.
we give you thanks for your abundance to us, that we have more than enough every time. We thank you for the privilege that it is to remember our baptism and all of the gifts that you give us at this time and every day. Use these gifts, Lord, to your honor and glory, to build up the church. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 30 through 35, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you." "What can I do? What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we continue with our Lenten sermon series based on the Reverend Adam Hamilton's Lenten study on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, the meaning and power of the prayer Jesus taught. And with help from Adam Hamilton, we are exploring the meaning of the Lord's Prayer. In other words, what is it we're praying for each time that we pray this prayer? But then we're also diving a little deeper into looking into how this sacred prayer that Jesus taught us to pray can shape our hearts and our lives more and more around God's heart and God's will for us. Today we turn to the third petition, the third ask of Jesus' prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, in turning to this part in the Lord's Prayer, Adam Hamilton opens up by pointing out one seemingly insignificant word in this prayer. That word is daily. And he does so by delving into the Greek term that we hear in our English Bibles as daily, the term epiousion. As it turns out, this term is only used twice in the entire New Testament. Once in the Gospel of Matthew, and another time in the Gospel of Luke. And each time that this term is used for daily, it's within the context of the Lord's Prayer. It turns out this term has to do with what we need each day. One of the early church leaders explains this daily bread as that bread which is needed for our daily support of life. It is that bread which is needful to the substance of our being that will sustain us. So in one sense,
With the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to provide us with the actual bread, the literal food or sustenance that we need to sustain our physical bodies, our physical being. Of note, Jesus has us pray here, as he does throughout the rest of the prayer, that Jesus has us pray here in the plural form, in the plural sense of the word, as opposed to the singular. And so I'm not just praying for my daily bread. And you're not just praying for your daily bread. But in fact, we are praying for our daily bread, collectively, together. We're praying for ourselves. We're praying for one another. And we are praying for our neighbors, in the biblical sense of the word, to have enough. Now, the reality is that many of us are like Adam Hamilton, who points out that when he prays this prayer, he does so with food in his cupboards. And yet we know this is not true for everyone, whether in our church or the community at large. Last summer, the Midland Daily News published an article wherein they reported that according to data from Feeding America, 13.7% of Midland County residents are food insecure. And actually, in real numbers, that's 12,500 people in our community who are food insecure. In other words, these individuals among us don't have enough to eat and don't know where their next meal will come from. In the same article, Sarah Lynn Temple, who is the executive director of Midland Open Doors, shared that its soup kitchen and shelter, which is just over on West Buttles across from the BP gas station, she shares that they serve meals to 50 people a day. And so that's at least 15,600 meals a year for people among us in need. Here in the church, our members of our congregation and of our Sunday Friendship Lunch teams serve on average 97 meals. That's been for January and February of this year. If we continue that throughout the year, that would be about 5,000 meals a year. And so when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," this part of the Lord's Prayer is a reminder. It's a reminder of the biblical imperative to feed the hungry, to feed those who are in need. Like in Deuteronomy chapter 15, where Moses instructs God's people, "Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land." This commandment didn't expire with Moses, and it didn't expire with their wandering in the wilderness. This command is still upon us as the people of God. It's for all the above reasons that I'm grateful for each of the opportunities our ministry team provides us as a church to provide for the food for those who are without their daily bread. Because as much as God works through miracles, and I still believe that today, God works through us in answering our own prayers. And so be it through our Sunday Friendship Lunch, our STEP ministry team, the blessing box in the church parking lot, the community garden that you heard about today that's being built up today at Carpenter Street, the upcoming food mobile pantry, Or you might think of the meal packing we did in the fall through our missions team and Midwest Missions, and indeed much more. There's an opportunity to be an answer to prayer, to be an answer to your own prayer. Because this is our prayer each time we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And each time we respond to this prayer, we are reminded of how God answers this prayer. So yes, Lord, hear us pray. Give us this day our daily bread. In his book, Adam Hamilton also picks up on yet another sense in which we pray for our daily bread. This sense is more spiritual in nature. For this more spiritual understanding of one's daily bread, Adam Hamilton takes us to today's scripture reading. It's here that a crowd of followers are mistaken in their pursuit of Jesus and of their daily bread. See, before this encounter here in John chapter 6, Jesus had miraculously fed a crowd of over 5,000 the previous day with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so, in essence, those in the very crowd whom Jesus has fed and who are with him on this day are saying, do it again, right? Do it again. Show us yet another miracle, and then we will believe. For those of you who have raised children, you might think of that time when you did something funny, right? And they're saying, do it again, right? Do it again. This is what they're saying. They even bring up how Moses gave their ancestors bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus knows. He knows that their hearts are not set on God's heart. That their ways are not set on God's ways. And so Jesus explains in verse 33 how the true bread of life is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus goes on to explain that he is this very bread that he's speaking of. And in being the true bread of life, Jesus says what? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am the sustenance that you're seeking and that you truly need for life and for living. Jesus is saying, I alone can satisfy your most soulful yearnings to be well. Holistically, mind, body, and spirit. Jesus is saying, I alone can satisfy your most soulful yearnings for purpose and for living a fulfilling life. While many of us may be like Adam Hamilton, where we're fortunate enough not to face food insecurity on a daily basis, the reality is that in March of 2020, all of us came across grocery shelves that looked like this. I took this picture at my local Meijer at the time in Northville on March 18th, 2020. Indeed, at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Being born generations after the Great Depression and the Second World War, this was a stark and disturbing scene for me. Indeed, like all the world's population over the next 3 years or so, I was introduced to the thin veil that exists between having what we need, which more often than not is truly what we want, and having the actual substance we need for our daily sustenance. The truth is, a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic isn't required to remind us of how dependent we are on God for our daily bread, for our daily sustenance. For most of us, we're one phone call away. One call from the doctor's office or a loved one. One routine drive in a car accident away. One day in an unexpected twist away from having our world turned upside down. Whether we wish to acknowledge it or not, all of us are subject to life's insecurities. Believe it or not, standing in this pulpit, wearing this robe, doesn't isolate me from the realities. Indeed, recent events in my life and in the lives of others that I know have reminded me of this reality. That life is fragile. That we are fragile. And we're left yearning almost every day for our wellness, for our purpose, and for fulfillment. In the end, this sustenance can only be found in the very bread of life. The longer I live, the more I'm reminded of this. And the more I listen to those who have lived longer than I, the more I'm convinced that this is true. So may we pray, give us this day our daily bread. May this be my prayer for you. May this be your prayer for me. And may this be our prayer for all others. And with this, may we be mindful of where we seek our daily sustenance and what we truly hunger for. Amen. Amen. As we seek this daily sustenance from our faithful God, let us pray. O holy God, who exists beyond the stretches of this universe, and yet who is as close by as the air we breathe, whose name, who is worthy of being hallowed, and whose will we pray is done. In the quiet of this moment, we pray for our daily bread. Lord, for some of us, we are praying for bread, for food to place on our tables, for food to feed those we love. For food to make it through this day. And we pray this not just for ourselves, but we pray this for our neighbors, both near and far. And so as your people, we pray your special blessing upon those who will receive a meal today in our church by the entrance of Larkin and Fitzhugh. People whose faces we recognize, people whose names we know, even some whose prayers we share. May they find and receive their daily bread. And at the same time, O Lord, we all come praying for our daily bread. For when we are still, we are reminded of how dependent we are on you. So give us the sustenance we need for living. Give us the sustenance we need to live as your church. Give us the sustenance we need to grow in our faith and deeper in our love for you. The very sustenance we need to be your church. All this we pray as we pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, it is my pleasure to invite you to stand as we sing our closing song today, Life-Giving Bread. It can be found as number 2261 in the Faith We Sing, or we will have the words up on the screen.
Wine may we share.
together.
Coming together, we celebrate life. We are God's people, gathered as one. Coming together with Christ as our head. Life is in word, to life-giving bread.
To the parlor at this time, so you might get ahead of our congregation and be the opportunity to be greeted in our parlor after our time in worship. Appreciate you doing so. I want to remind you of that time and of cake also, and invite you to that time together. And I'm going to invite you this week to consider what would it look like to truly depend on this life-giving bread. It is so easy to go through the day, to go through the week, relying upon ourselves, yes? Right? Like we rely on our reflexes. You know, what's my gut telling me to do? We might rely on our life experiences. I've been in this place before. What have I done? What has worked? We might even rely on our education. Right? Whether it's formal or informal, to get us through the day. But wow, what will it look like to depend on this life-giving bread? And we have a tough situation. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle a conflict. We don't know what direction God is pointing us. What if we depended on this life-giving bread? You know, I'm trying to raise my child. Doesn't seem anything is coming through to them. What do I do? Depend on this life-giving bread. My family's getting ready to welcome my loved one in, right?
or we've lost a loved one. And so what do I do? What would it look like for you to depend this week on this life-giving bread? May it be so, for he is faithful. Amen. Amen. Thank you.